This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. And welcome to the show.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, The Promise and the Deliverer. This week, God's Mighty Hand Begins. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 24th day of November 2017. We are glad you joined us. I am Tower. This is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 10 through chapter 32, verse 2. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13 through chapter 14, verse 9. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 50. Go to warn-radio.com or danaglennsmith.com and check out the latest articles by The Watchman. We have Former Days, Former Glory, The Day of Swine and Noses. It is the days of former years to which I remember, but these days are days of suffering and intolerable to which this nation has attained. There is no hope, there is no solution for them, and the people have not a clue, for they reject any notion to which I make an appeal. It is a precipice heading into oblivion. There is no escape nor return to the former glory. Behold, it descends. By Dana G. Smith, In the Days of Swine and Noses. And you can check out Prophecy World Events plus Tribulation 101, Possess Your Soul. Journey of Promise for both Christians and Jews. And also on the articles, there's Building God. Who and what is your God? The Time of the End, Knowledge Shall Be Increased. Who or what is your God? This is the whole point of technology. It creates an appetite for immortality on the one hand. It threatens universal extinction on the other. Technology is lust removed from nature. By Don DeLillo. Or that quote is by him. He's an American novelist, playwright, and essayist. You can find us on Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Vimeo, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR, Warn, radio events, shows, and more. And to follow us on Twitter, you can go to hashtag WatchmanIS, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. And to find out more information on following us, our podcasts, or other items, go to our website at warn-usa.com, where we have extensive information on the sidebars of the blog. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Welcome, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, a little confused, I think. I said go to warn-usa. No, I said warn-radio.com. I should have not said that.
Well, that will take you to the same place.
Okay.
But it is warn-usa.com. I combined them quite a while ago. But at any rate, that's fine. We are here a day after Thanksgiving. We hope that whenever you hear this, that you did have a good Thanksgiving and that you're going to have some good holiday in the winter, whether you're celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas. Although a priest did come out, you know, and said stop calling it Christmas and stop celebrating it, you know, because we lost it. Well, there's a lot of debate around that as far as, you know, the bottom line of it is that if you celebrate Christmas and you're heralding Jesus Christ, you know, I have no problem with it as long as his name is mentioned and you're glorifying him. Remembering him and speaking the Lord, that's fine. Don't let no man judge you in that. Even Paul talked about that, about these particular things like that. So, you know, the bottom line of it is there's so much sin and debauchery and garbage, it's okay, you know, during these seasons to celebrate, and even for a Christian to celebrate Hanukkah. I've actually taught on Hanukkah by doing Antiochus Epiphanes, Shadows of the Antichrist, because that goes right directly back to that. The Lord mentions Antiochus, and so these things are all connected. They're all interwoven in Scripture. So it's okay for a Christian to keep Hanukkah. It's a festival of lights. It's okay to talk about Christmas, you know. And I know I've been there where the trees, you know, they get after you because you're worshiping trees and all this other stuff. And I can tell you unequivocally that we worship a lot of things around America. We might even worship Santa Claus. Now, I don't give quarter to Santa Claus, but he's on his own.
No.
But as far as worshiping trees and lights and that, that's, you know, you can get into that, you know. But when I was a kid, and I remember Christmas real well, and I was a Methodist boy growing up, the last thing I wanted to do was bend down and worship the stupid tree. That was nonsense. Only in this modern world of idiocy do we find people preaching on things like that. If you're going to preach on something, preach on the fact that we are teaching our children in preschool about immoral things in the sexual thing in very graphic detail. If you want to get out and really say something, open your mouth about something that's going to make a dime's worth of difference instead of preaching the law on the tree and the lights and this other baloney that you spend your time on. And as far as Christmas, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, and I tell you also, you need to be keeping the feasts because they are very prophetic. The apostles kept it. The early church kept it. Now, whether you do, that's up to you. I could care less, but I'm just telling
Jesus
you.
Jesus kept them.
Yeah. And so, that's right. And so, at any rate, what else do we got going here? Oh, they've been talking about Flynn. Of course, he's the one that resigned because he had done some things. He failed to mention a certain meeting and things that he had done. So now Mueller's going after him, and Flynn's decided.
Oh, I thought he was siding with Mueller. Is he siding with Mueller now?
Well, you know, of course, all the Democrats are going to put it out that way. But Flynn, you know, it's not uncommon for any kind of an investigator, according to Judge Napolitano, to go after everybody under Trump in order to get Trump. And, of course, Trump's the one that appointed him. Nobody's found out anything. There's no proof. Dershowitz has come out a time and again, and he is more qualified than Mueller to talk about what's law and what isn't law. And you know, the thing of it is, Dershowitz saying that he's going after people for things that is okay, and he's making it into a you know a violation of the law when it's not a violation of the law. That's according to Dershowitz. And so this whole thing is just a dog on a leash going down a trail trying to find some way to unseat Trump. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
I don't care what Mueller is supposed to be. He's the dog on the leash. He was associated with Democrats before he ever got in here. I don't know why Trump appointed him, but Trump was maneuvered into this. That came out as well. If they find something on Trump and he gets bumped out of there, that's the way it is. But this whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, and your United States right now, according to the stock market, has never been better. And so there's a lot of people that are happy that Trump is in there because he undid this last president's idiotic policies. And I'm telling you, Barack Obama and all of his policies were idiotic, but the Democrats kept their fat mouth shut and did nothing.
And so did the Republicans, and
they tried to destroy
the United States.
And while they persecuted Christians under Obama's watch, the Republicans and the Democrats kept their mouth shut. And so we've seen this cited time and time again, where Christian businessmen couldn't stand upon their principles. They had no freedom of religion. They had no say-so in freedom of speech. And so it's about time that somebody did something to stop the stupid course that these idiot Democrats and these lazy Republicans have been taking this country down. And so if you all hate Trump, I guess that's life in the fast lane. Go move to Cuba. Or Nicaragua.
Yeah, that's right. Argentina, that's where they're having financial issues.
Yeah, tell them to go down there. They like socialists down there.
Yeah.
Well, of course they might not, because the socialism of Chavez kind of went through the floor. and the reason it did is because they had banked everything on oil, and as long as they had oil, they were fine. But then Chavez destroyed all of the independent that Venezuela had. He destroyed all the industries. He destroyed the privatization. He pushed government controls on everything. So Chavez was really pushing that towards communism. In a greater way. So, at any rate, it makes you wonder, too, because Venezuela is where they say that a lot of Nazis went to. So it makes you wonder if some of their doctrine hadn't made it into the...
Good idea.
You know, to the main thing itself. So,
I have a distraction back here. I'm sorry.
I heard you. You said good idea. Everybody heard you. You ought to know better than to do that.
I was talking to my distraction.
Yeah, well, you'll be able to talk with him here in a while.
I know.
So at any rate, we are in at the end of 2017, of course. You ought to know that.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
You ought to know that, all right. And 2018, it's hard to say what we're looking at there, but this...
Well, it should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not even looking, ahead like that. We've been so busy, we continue things. The book, Steal the Darkness, is out. It's book one in a series of the Steal series. And
yeah, I'm already looking forward to book two.
Yeah. So at any rate, go on over to my website, danaglensmith.com. DanaGlennSmith, or you can just go to warren-usa.com, and you'll also see something on the book on the front of that. And you can pick them up on from the Ingram stores. They are in, I don't know, last time I looked, it was 300-400 different places.
That's incredible how far we can go this now in this technical world.
And you can get them on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And of course, they're available in EPUB and in the Kindle. And let's see. Of course, what that is the Barnes & Noble Nook thing, and it's available in the Kindle, the Amazon Kindle thing. So those are really the two, and you pretty much got to go to Barnes & Noble and search for it, or you can go to my website, danaglennsmith.com, and I have all the various things listed and where to find them at. Just click on the front article, and that'll take you to our landing page. You'll find everything there. If you're on Facebook, search for Steal the Darkness. We have an ad on there that gives you some information. So check that out on Facebook. Or you can just go to Amazon and put Steal the Darkness, S-T-E-E-L, The Darkness. Or put in my name, Dana Glenn Smith, and it all should come up. Good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise. And so, at any rate, we do ask you to check out the book. And, you know, it is a good book, and I think you need to buy it. And I think you need to buy it because it has a lot of good biblical stuff in it. And it's current events, but it's a fiction, and it's a thriller. And it's a way to get the word into the hands of people that don't hear the word. And so I have a radical preacher. I have patriots. I have a Jewish prophet in there. I have a Hitler-type guy. I have, let's see, who else we got in there? We got, Lucifer's in there, and a new type of hybrid alien.
I just think it's a fun read, too.
Yeah, it is. So you're going to find this Christian book has just about everything you can find in there, from UFOs, underground bases, Christian principles, the Bible, Lucifer, heaven and hell, Jesus Christ, you name it, and it's there. All in one book.
Yeah.
So at any rate, let's see, what else is going on here? Well, this is Friday night, and we are doing a show tonight. We didn't do one yesterday. It was Thanksgiving, and it's a time to spend with your family. We got coming up Hanukkah, which we do have a Hanukkah, a menorah, and we like to light that. And we really don't get into all the Jewish, things that the Jews do with that, but... there's no reason we can't look to Hanukkah, look to the Lord on Hanukkah and realize the miracle and what happened, because we've studied on it, we've taught on it, we've preached on it, and it's wrapped up in Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist. So make no mistake, there's a lot of stuff that's intertwined, and that's why Jesus taught out of the Old Testament and the law. The apostles did the same thing. So all you New Testament churches that throw out the law and the Old Testament, you are making a mistake. Jesus didn't say he came to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it, and he did. And even with our new covenant, we do have the fulfillment of the law here. And you're not saved by the law. You're saved by grace through faith. But even faith itself is a result of the law. And I've proved it many times. That faith. Yep. Well, at any rate, we'll move on from there. Tonight we are in part four, and the journey of promise. And we've been taking this journey of promise. We're going to be in Exodus tonight. And... So we look forward to that. We've been doing another series over on Thursday nights. And We go through these series, you know, a tower. I can hear you guys talking. Now you pay attention.
Opa just yelled at me now.
You tell your senior ward there, your vice producer, to keep quiet and go back to coloring.
Opa said to go back to coloring.
Okay, Prophecy World Events plus Tribulation 101, Possess Your Souls, Part 3, Patient Continuance. Now, that's coming up this next week. So it's Tribulation 101. Oh, don't you love to hear about that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, we do want to hear more about that.
Well, folks, to be honest with you, you know, Tower and I expected the coming of the Lord many, 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 many times over the years, every day.
Oh, yeah, and I can't believe where we're at now.
No, we expected him to come a long time ago. And, of course, we started out in this before 1980, you know, long before we got to Bible school in 78, whenever it was back there. But so we've been on this path for a lot of years. And, boy, I'll tell you, we all these years, we've still expected him to come. Now we expect him still to come. But we look back and we see all the times we expect him literally every day, you know. And I remember Tower telling me how she used to pray every day. You know, and of course she still prays every day. But see, the thing, the idea of it is it had connection with the coming of the Lord. See, because when the Lord is coming, you get concerned about people that aren't saved. You get concerned even about
yeah.
your own soul. At least you should be. So at any rate, now we are even, you know, and I thought it was bad back in the 80s, back in the 70s, and, you know, I thought it was bad. And now I get to...
It's worse now. It's incredible.
Yeah, 2017, now it's just like, you know, what was I thinking? You know? I would go back in the 80s and the 90s, you know, because it wasn't that bad back there. But boy, today, I mean, it's really funny how this all works. You look back and you see it and say, man. Well, at any rate, folks, we are in that. And, you know, we live every day for the Lord. We seek the Lord and we are sending the word around the world. And we do it through Spreaker. And through a number of quite a number of social sites, and we have been targeting not only people with PCs and being able to do all these things. We're targeting the smartphones, and so our Warren Radio app. You can actually get that app and take this radio show with you wherever you are, and this is around the world. We've been targeting it, sending it out. We use the Spreaker Base app for sending it out one way, and then we're also recording the video, the high-def video, which goes on our Vimeo site and our own websites. And then we also send it out in another wave of podcasts in one direction while we're sending it out in a wave of podcasts going out through Spreaker. So we've got these things just going out everywhere. And, you know, that's what we intend to do. And we're also reaching people on Facebook. We have an extensive bunch of people that follow us on Twitter, and we follow a bunch as well. And if I had time to work it, we could probably get that Twitter up to probably 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, which may not be much to you, but... you know, we can get it up there quite, but I don't have time to do all that. But so far, you know, around the world, we have had people from just about every corner of the planet that's come to our websites at one time or another. And so we continue to do it because this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. We are going to get the word out continually, and that's
Amen.
What we do. That is our goal right now. We write articles, not on news, but on the Word of God, and just like the days of swine and noses, you need to read that. Get on over to warren-usa.com and you find that article and read it, and you're going to be glad you read it. And so you check these things out, and if you listen to us, I ask you to send the links out, to read the articles that we have, and to help get these things out through all the social sites, and send our links to our websites around. Also, check out the book if you listen to us a lot. And, you know, I mean, we need your help to be able to get this word out. And all of these avenues enable us to continue to do what we're doing. And because it's not cheap. And as well, we have to have something to live on. And the Lord's provided for us for all these years. Always provided. He always will. And so,
Amen. Yes. And
we have a lot of people around the world that we've met through all these years that we think a lot of, and we've never met them except through the internet. And so, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you hear this, we urge you to seek the Lord, even if you don't know him. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And you can come to any one of our social sites around the world. I mean, literally. And the book, of course, is on all kinds of stuff around the world already. And that's why we go through Amazon and through Ingram. Because both of them send it around the world like that. So at any rate, let's see, what else? Well, we're coming down. I'm going to start preaching here.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Okay, tonight, as I told you earlier, we are in part four. And tonight, you know, in the whole theme we've been talking about, you know, and in both things, we are in the end times. And while many times we look at, you know, Christians and Jews as being so diverse, the fact of the matter it is, we're not that far apart. However, we are far apart enough when we talk about redemption. But yet, God has worked through the Jews. And so, we can look back and we can find how God dealt with the Jews. And we can find that thread. I call it the scarlet thread of redemption. Now, in Exodus 2 is where we're starting tonight. Now, there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister, now you can see the bulrushes and you can see all the various cottontails and everything. These are what I call them. They're kind of reeds that shoot up. And that's where she put this kid in this little ark, this little thing that would ride on the river and not sink. And of course, and it says that his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him, or to know what would be done to him. Now by now you should know who this is. And the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's edge, and when she saw the ark among the flags, the bulrushes and all the other things, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, in case you're wondering, you know and I know that Moses was the deliverer. And another deliverer was Joseph. He delivered the children of Israel at that time. All these are type of shadows of Christ. And so now we're looking at Moses. And Moses, of course, his beginning was filled with miracles. It was at a time when, the Pharaoh at that time was worried about all of the Hebrews and how they had so prospered. There was so many of them, even under bondage. And God had blessed them, and they grew. There was only 70 in Egypt when they began. And by the time God delivered them out of Egypt, there was a large multitude following the children of Israel. And in all, estimates probably put all of those who left Egypt under Moses' hand is about 1 million. Now, of course, being as none of us were there really counting, it could be less, could be more, but there was a pile of people coming out of that place. Now, see, anytime we're talking about a promise, and we're specifically talking about Jews and Christians, you know, the Jews needed a deliverer. They couldn't stay in the house of Pharaoh forever. Now, of course, Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of the devil, Lucifer, Antichrist, you name it. That's about what we look at him as. And, of course, the children of Israel were given a promise. It went to Abraham first, and that promise flowed through Abraham's seed. And God was going to give them land. Now, see, if they had been really comfortable in Egypt, they'd have never wanted to leave, which is exactly what Israel did do, when they were taken captive and Judah was taken into Babylon. Now, of course, not every Jew was taken into Babylon, but of course, you know, the fact of the matter was, you know, everything was pretty much destroyed. And there was a large group of them that were taken captive to Babylon. And over the years, say 70 years later, many of the Jews had become accustomed to Babylon and were functioning quite well. Now, God went so far as to say, "Flee Babylon and let Jerusalem come to mind." And, of course, it took quite a while, but eventually there was a remnant that returned to Jerusalem. And the temple was rebuilt. It wasn't in the glory of Solomon. And matter of fact, the Lord tells us that he, you know, the prophet told the children of Israel not to despise the day of small things. In other words, this new temple was less than what they, the Jews, really wanted. But he said, don't despise it. It's a beginning. Of course, it was a type and shadow anyway of what the true temple of God was going to be like when the Lord was going to come again and rule and reign on the earth as the greater son of David. So, you see, there's always that promise. There's always that deliverance. There's always that working that God is doing. Now, Christians are no different. And God had always intended to bring the Gentiles, the Goyim. In the New Testament, they're known as Greeks. That's a common word, but the word Greeks that Paul uses and we find the New Testament uses really reflects the Gentiles, the Gentile nations. And they were basically seen as unclean because they didn't keep the law. They didn't have the promises. They didn't do any of this. Now, Paul talks about this in Galatians. Now, we're talking about a deliverer. We're talking about the journey of promise. And see, our promise, and because of what Paul says in Galatians, we know, goes clear back to Abraham. But see here, let's look in Acts 2. Now see, this is at Pentecost. This is after the Holy Spirit came in the upper room. And there was cloven tongues of fire. And there was other tongues. And of course, Pentecost was one of the three pilgrim feasts. And there was Jews in Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. And so when this little group in the upper room had the Spirit poured out on them, fulfilling Joel, they heard the word of God preached to them, and that day 3,000 were added and believed because of that one thing. Now, in this section here, this is the promise that Peter pointedly talks about. And this is the promise that applies not only to the Jews, but to all those who would believe, both Jew and Gentile. And that's why when we talk about the journey of promise for both Christians and Jews, they come together here. Now, of course, there are many Jews that don't believe, and they haven't believed for a long time. There's been an enmity between the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, Christians and Jews, for centuries. Now, today, there is a big influx of Christians that support Israel, but there's also a good amount of ultra-Orthodox Jews who persecute Christians, Messianic believers in Israel. So nothing has changed in that regard. But yet, one of these days, and if you go to Romans chapter 11, you'll find that Paul explains that God has not cast away Israel, that in fact, when the times of the Gentiles come to a close, that Israel is going to believe. Of course, there's going to be a lot of tribulation and trouble going on, and this is one of the things that's going to bring them about to trust the Lord. So now, verse 36 of Acts 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now see, that's still the same thing today. Every generation needs to be declared. And every generation is an untoward generation. They're against God. They go on their own. They have other gods. They have other excuses. They serve other things. So it's not just at this time that they were untoward. Every generation is an untoward generation. The world stands at opposition to God. They are in enmity with God. The love of the world is against God. Friendship of the world is against God. Now, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So they followed the apostles' doctrines. They had fellowship one with another. They had prayers together. And the breaking of bread, they ate together. They had communion together. Now, 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, a friend of ours, many years ago, wrote a book about this section. Now, back in Bible school, we had what we called koinonia groups, based upon the fact that in the early church, church was in the home, because, well, the people did not have the money to have all these big fancy edifices that we see today. But there was that koinonia, that fellowship, one with another and with God. And our brother Vistendahl from Ellendale, North Dakota, a supporter of Trinity Bible College, wrote one of the first books on the origins of this and the types and everything you need to wonder. Now, I did have that book years ago, and I tried to get some more of them a long time ago. And I, you know, we haven't been able to find them. It's been a lot of years. And I still might have the book and some of my other books that I have stored away. But this is very important when we talk about this. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Because the word of God was moving, people saw these things, they felt that commonality, and it was just a wonderful time of unity and fellowship. And whenever you have that, that's great. But usually, as soon as that begins to happen, the devil moves in force to destroy. And he does this by bringing in backbiting and fighting and disobedience and many other things. And let's see, they had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now you see, this is something we really do need in the church today. However, we don't have it. And many times the church gets rich. The pastors and evangelists are rich. And yet Americans get, and I'm speaking of America, it happens all over. But, you know, the church comes first. And you give to keep the building going. And usually they forget about the rest of the people. Now, when it says they had all things common, that means everybody shared everything. And they sold their goods and possessions and parted them as every man had need. In other words, nobody was left out. And see, this is one thing we need to remember, to really take care of each other in the church. So at any rate, you can really find these things in here, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now see, they were going from house to house because that's how many had gotten saved. And there was that kind of an atmosphere. Now eventually persecution broke out in Jerusalem and everybody had to flee. And the reason that happened was that they had to get the gospel around the world. This gospel shall be preached in Jerusalem, Samaria, and at the uttermost part of the earth. And that was what they had to do. And they got comfortable there. They stayed there. So persecution arose. And many times we see that with the Lord in order to get people to move out. Things happen like that in order to get the people moved out, so the word. And when they moved out, they took the word with them. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Now you see, the one thing that we want to note, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, see, that follows the other verse, which says, out of Peter's lips, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, see, this is the promise. The promise that you need to repent and be baptized, and so you can have your sins forgiven and removed, and have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this promise is unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, we're in the end of days. And that promise is to us. We are afar off. You better believe it. We are about as far off as you can get from the time Peter was preaching. And this promise is unto us. So when we talk about the journey of the promise, you know, that journey started clear back and was given to Abraham. And Abraham, it was to his children. And it was given. And as you trace that line, you can find the Gentiles were considered in that line as well. Because in him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that was also not only said of Abraham, but it was also, you know, coming out of Joseph, who had married an Egyptian who is not of his tribe, which would represent the Gentile line as well. He had Manasseh and Ephraim, and Manasseh being the old one, the oldest one, didn't get the promise. The promise, even out of Jacob's lips, as he, you know, was given to Ephraim. And it was through Ephraim that promise was to go through and bless the nations of earth, to all the nations. And so we see this line of promise, and we can follow this all the way through Scripture. And now see, the end result is after the Lord came, you know, he went to the Jews first. He went to Samaria, which is the outer portion, which is not just Jewish, but Jewish and Gentile, you know. You can say clean and unclean, according to the Jews. And then it went into the Roman Empire proper. And, of course, Paul the Apostle, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, got saved, and he was the Apostle to the Gentiles. So we have all of this, and all of this is connected. So that the journey of the promise, and you can't just throw this stuff out. You can't just say it doesn't apply, because it does apply. And you can't just ignore it. And the Jews can't keep ignoring this stuff, although many of them do. They don't believe this, and they're not going to believe it until the times of the Gentiles are ended. Now, you see, the thing of it is that when we get right down to it, we're now looking at Israel again, and that's what we're doing in this study. We look at the promises, we look at Israel for a bit, then we'll look at the Christians, and then we look back at Israel. So the promise, we seen Moses as the deliverer, delivering them out of Egypt. Then we saw, you know, the Lord coming, and then, of course, at Pentecost, the church being started and the promise that Peter gave out. Now, of course, we're back looking at Israel. Israel had to go through the judgment phase to find deliverance. That's what they were doing in Egypt. Egypt was a place of safety. Then it became a place of judgment. And they had to go through that judgment in order to find deliverance. And then it says, now see, Joseph had to do the same thing, though. The word tried him. That's what the scripture says. And he was in prison. He became the second in, you know, only to the Pharaoh. But before he got there, he had to go through judgment. You know, the word tried him. Whether you like it or not, even as a Christian, the word is going to try you. Israel, though, had only the first three plagues to endure. Now, this is the important thing. Israel, from the fifth plague onward, did not suffer from these plagues as God brought Egypt to her knees. Egypt was freed after Passover night and the death of the firstborn. Now see, there's a reason I'm telling you this. Number one, I don't preach pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. That don't even influence me. I could care less. I wait for the Lord. When he's ready, we'll be out of here. But to say that Christians will never see tribulation or trouble is a lie. And those who tell you that are liars. They are. I don't care how many degrees in theology and stuff they have. I don't care how many are in their church. Now, Exodus 8:20. And we're going to go about four verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and saying to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. Now you know, Beelzebub, another word we use for the devil, means Lord of the Flies. And there is some history behind that, but at any rate. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I'll put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Now, I have taught, you know, this many times before. And the fact that Goshen, where Israel was, actually was a good land. But you see, God brought Egypt to her knees. By the time the Lord got done with Egypt, the economy was destroyed. Their herds were destroyed. Their food was destroyed. Their crops. Their armies were devastated. It was a mess. All the Pharaoh had to do was let the people go, but he wouldn't do it. But the Lord told Moses to tell him, I have raised you up so that I can show my glory. God was going to show his arm, his strength, his glory through defeating the most dangerous nation on earth at that time, the most prosperous, the one that was tough, the one that could defeat, the one that had slaves. It was powerful. And so God brought the Pharaoh and all of his armies and everything in Egypt down. Now you see, there's coming a one, a dark one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we call him son of perdition. Revelation 13, there's two beasts there. The first one is the main one, and then, of course, his false prophet is the second one. But they're going to raise up for 3.5 years. Now, we know for 3.5 years he's going to rule. Now, that doesn't mean that the tribulation is 3.5 years long, and it doesn't mean that the tribulation is 7 years long, which what many dispensationalists believe. Now, I frankly could care less whether you think it's 7 years or 3.5 years. I don't care. That's just totally irrelevant. The bottom line of it is that if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, then you better get your butt out of here, okay? Maybe the Lord's forgot. See, what I'm trying to tell you is the timeline that you're going to be going out may not be the timeline that you have been taught that the men that learned this from other men had been taught. See, because where do you think these people get PhDs from? The PhDs and all this other stuff in man's learning and institutions, they get it from other men who got these things from other men. Now, I'm here to tell you that when we look at tribulation and trouble, and when we look at the precursor to the main part of the tribulation, that doesn't mean it's going to be a few years. Matter of fact, we've been seeing some of the birth pangs for a long time before we ever got here. But when the main part of it comes, you're going to know absolutely when it gets here. And when he rises, you've got 3.5 years, according to Scripture. We know this. We've nailed it. It's not something we're guessing at. We know it. You have 3.5 years, and you're going to see the Lord. Now, let's look back at history. Let's look at what happened with the Jews. Now, this is one of the finest examples of God judging the wicked, in this case, Egypt and the Pharaoh and his armies and his people. Every one of those represents darkness, anti-God. And you can put that in the time of Antichrist and all those who follow him the same way. You can type it out that way. You can look at it. You can look at Egypt. You can look at then at Israel, who was in bondage. They were at enmity with Egypt. See, the Jews didn't want to be in bondage, but they were in bondage. They feared the Jews. They didn't want anything to do with them. They didn't want them to have freedom. They wanted to kill their men, children, you know, and that's why Moses ended up getting saved. It was in that time when they were trying to kill all the babies that God saved one out by the name of Moses during that time of that death. Now, of course, when the Lord was on this earth as a child, we know that the ruler at that time tried to kill all the Hebrew children again. So we know in Scripture that history can repeat itself. And we know also, if we can find this in the law, the Torah, and that's what this is. This is Exodus. This is in the first five books of the Bible, which is known in Bible college lingo as the Pentateuch. Penta meaning five. So God, in a single day, this would be a good time to do it. And it's really funny, too, because he did it at the time where he's going to send flies, and we relate that to Beelzebub, meaning Lord of the flies, which during the worship of the sun god and in all of that, in the hot of the day, is when all the flies would come out. And so Beelzebub came up because of the flies, the Lord of the flies, during the time when they were worshiping this false god, Baal, Beelzebub, meaning Lord of the flies. So it was during this time, the swarm of the fly judgment, that God was going to sever Goshen. Now this is really good, because the devil is Lord of the flies. He's Beelzebub. He's Lucifer. He is the dragon. He's the beast. And there's many names for him. The Prince of Darkness. Many, many names that we look at. But you see, God severed those two kingdoms. Now see, in this respect, and in this scriptural note here, we can say that here God severed the judgment. See, up till that time, Israel was going through some of this as well. They went through the judgments, they were there. But then there came a time when the judgments got real bad and God wasn't going to afflict his people that way. So he just sent the flies over there. There's also a judgment of darkness that Israel didn't have to do. Judgment on the cows that Israel didn't have any trouble with. So you see, God severed them. God separated them. He said, I'll put a division between my people and thy people, and tomorrow shall this sign be. Now, I'm not going to tell you where this is going to happen in Revelation. Revelation is not that clear. But yet, we know that when we see the wrath of God portion of the end time judgment, when that wrath of God comes upon the earth, that's going to come upon the whore church, and it will come upon the unbelievers. The only people that are going to get that judgment are the ones that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the ones that have taken the mark. And they, including Babylon and the whore, including the devil, the beast, are all going to be judged for the blood. That's just one of the things that they are responsible for. Now we know that. So the rest of the Christians, now we can find in Revelation also a place in the seals judgment, for instance, when we talk about the martyrs who are come out of the tribulation, that there is a number that is going to be fulfilled. And this is where we have the picture of the souls of the saints that had been beheaded and martyred for the name of the Lord during the tribulation, and they're under the throne and they cry out, how long, O Lord, will you wait before you avenge the blood? Our blood. And he admonishes them to be quiet, to rest a while, until the rest of those who it has been given are going to be martyred. When they're martyred, then he will get into that step. But there comes a time. And what that tells us is although, you know, we see quite plainly that there is martyrdom that's going to go on, Revelation 12:11. We also know there comes a time when that's going to be fulfilled. It's not going to happen anymore, which will mean by this time that the mark will be fully implemented, that the Christians will have, they're either going to be backslid totally, dead, martyred, or they're going to be sealed. And they will be sealed under the martyrdom, under the leadership. And there's going to be, and we find this in the 144,000, and these come out of the tribes of Israel. These are going to be people that God will call out, and there will be a sealing process on them and upon all those who follow them and upon all those who believe. Now, when we look at this, now, let's look at the Christians even more. Luke 21:34-36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. Now that's the first thing. Don't get so caught up in the world that you lose track as to the day and the hour of the coming of the Lord and how close it is. It's easy to do. For as a snare is going to come upon the whole, on all of them that dwell on the face of the earth. This is the snare. This is the tribulation. This is the end times. That's what it says. And he says, watch therefore and pray always. Now this is the key. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now if you've heard me at all, let's say, at any length of time, then you've heard me quote this verse. Luke 21, 34 through 36, these verses, 36 is the one. Watch and pray, watch you therefore and pray always. Now that's a command, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. Now that's your escape clause. That's what this says. But it says watch and pray. It says to take heed. Don't get overcharged in the world and the cares of this life. Don't allow the day to come upon you unaware. It's going to come as a snare. The whole world's going to be caught up in it. There's a difference. And he says, you need to watch and pray always. What? So you can escape. That's what it says. Now, folks, there's a lot of dangerous things a-coming, but this is something you need to be doing now. And you need to be praying that prayer not just for yourself, but for your family. And if you want to pray it for your friends, go ahead. He doesn't say don't pray for others this way. He just says, watch you therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy. Well, you can also say, Lord, I pray that and name their names would be accounted worthy to escape. Now, what that does, when you pray like this, and with the word, this puts angels of God plus the Holy Spirit on the inside of the believers, and it all works together to nudge them closer to the Lord to be counted worthy. Now, there's a lot of people, I would say preachers, that may not like this counted worthy, because as Christians, we've been taught it's about faith, and that's your salvation. That's true. I'm not the one that said this. The Lord's the one that said this, and this is a commandment. Now, he also gave you another one out of John. And he says, I pray you, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, meaning his disciples, but that you would keep them from the evil. Now that's another prayer that he prayed to the Father, that he would keep them from the evil. Now you can pray that prayer as well. Father, keep us from the evil according to the word which the Lord prayed. Then you quote the verse. Now see, the evil directly relates to the devil. The evil of the devil and what he does. Now see, these things are important in how you pray. There are a lot of evil. But see, the thing of it is, if you give the devil more power, he's going to take more power. If you walk in fear, you've opened a door for him. Now see, the Lord told us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now recently in the news, it's been in there, and there's been priests and others warning that there's a demon outbreak, and that there's not enough trained people to cast demons out of people. So it was a big thing. They're really worried. Well, folks, I got news for you, okay? You don't need a Catholic demonologist. You need to submit yourselves to God, therefore. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when you do that, that doesn't mean you go back watching porno movies. That doesn't mean, first of all, you need to repent of all that stuff. But see, what you watch and what you see and what you read and what you're around and what you do affects the legality of darkness to be able to come after you. Because every one of those demons are like lawyers. They know the law better than you do, and they know when they can legally trespass, and they know also that a no doesn't always mean no, especially with Christians and others. When dealing with humans, your failure to rebuke and resist them is a yes. That's the problem. Americans and churches and in the world, basically, they're lazy. You have to have faith. You can't walk in fear. You got to be prayed up. And you got to rebuke and bind and also watch what you're doing. because there are traps everywhere. Now, see, this is the problem. Now, see, the one thing about the children of Israel, at the time when Moses was the deliverer, and we're talking about these particular judgments, Israel had never been given the law yet. Not at all. They were going to find the law, and it was going to be there at Sinai. It was after Sinai that they got that law, and after Sinai, going all the way up, even to today. But you see, as Christians, you and I, because of the cross, we have been given the truth. Now, Paul openly told the believers in his day that through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, sometimes we try to delineate or make a difference between the tribulation that the Lord just referred to as having trouble every day just because you're a Christian and the in-depth tribulation that's coming. There is a difference in the veracity, that is the truth of how bad it's going to be. Now, we are living in a time unlike anything. And now, for instance, when we talk about a lot of things going on in judgment, now see, today, this Black Friday, and the sales, and the stock market, today, hit a high. And this has been the best day in history that they know of. Now see, I remember old David Wilkerson used to preach that before a nation faces judgment, God always brings in this kind of extensive financial blessings. But we also know that when they say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction come. So the judgment's coming. And there is going to be a worldwide fall in the economy. There is going to be a rise of Islam at even more than we've seen. There is going to be horrendous things happen. But that does not mean God cannot protect you or your family. Because I've given you the scriptures tonight to prove the difference. And I've also given you hope directly out of the experience of Israel and the land of Goshen, which today stands as that dividing line, that portion between where those who believe in God are and those who don't. This is the difference. Now, I was referring earlier to Revelation 6, 9 through 11. These are the seal judgments, and I want to read this. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, this Revelation 13 is when the devil decides he's going to make war against the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith and testimony of Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that shall dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little, rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now that tells us the martyrdom is going to continue for a while, and then it will end. It's going to be fulfilled. Now, in Revelation 16, this is another very important section in Revelation. There's 10 verses here, and you need to pay attention to these. Now, see, whether you believe what these scriptures say, that is entirely up to you. Revelation 21, 34 through 36, remember that. Revelation 6, 9 through 11, remember that. Now, that isn't to say you're to forget the whole Bible. No, I'm just telling you these things. pay attention to. Revelation 16, 1 through 10. Now, let's go to that one. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now that's the wrath of God. Make no mistake about it. This is the wrath of God, tribulation. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast upon them that worshipped his image. Now did you see who that was? Did that say Christian? No. And the second angel, now see, if you have a church worshiping the beast, then they're screwed. Simply put, I don't care how many times they yell Jesus, if they've taken the mark of the beast, they're screwed, glued, and tattooed, if you catch my meaning. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the earth and rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now, are you noticing the blood? This is very important. I cover this in my teaching on the blood. It's very important to understand this issue about the blood. Now, and I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Now listen, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. Now see, this is the judgment. This is why we talk about the blood. Not only are Christians saved because of the blood of Christ, but the blood itself has the power in the atonement. That's what was going to be used according to the law. That's why the law is literally fulfilled in the atonement. Now, you have this blood and the blood shed. This is innocent blood. And when innocent blood is shed, it causes a curse in the earth and on the land. This, again, also is out of the law. Blood curses the earth. It curses the land where the people are. And Jerusalem, as many as the three great religions want to believe, that Jerusalem is holy. Jerusalem is not holy. It's known spiritually as Sodom and Egypt because of the blood that has been shed there for centuries. The Middle East is riveted with blood. Now, I can tell you, before the Messiah, Yahshua, can come and sit as the greater throne of David in the temple that's going to be in Jerusalem, before he can ever come and do that, it's got to be cleansed. This is the cleansing of the blood. And so all you have to do is go onto my website and type in the blood. It's going to come up. Because this is one of the big... Well, at any rate, we can cover that another time. I can go over all that again. It's a big study. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over the plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now see, this is the wrath of God, part of the tribulation. You do not want to be here at this time. That is, without being sealed. Because these people are going to suffer. And they're going to die. And then they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And then they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, you see, that's not fun. But these things, this is the place. And if there was any place that you could say, this is a definite place we could say that the Christians will either be sealed, which means you'll be protected from it, or you'll be with the Lord because you were martyred. Those are the only two things out. There's nothing else. There's no other escape. Now, the Lord is coming. And we're going to meet him. But there's a lot of things that have to happen yet. And we're doing the journey of promise for both Christians and Jews to show you how the Jewish roots fit into the Christian experience. But also to let you know how the New Testament also fits into those Jewish roots, and about where the tribulation is headed, and what is it about finding a way of escape. Now see, remember when I read you about all the miracles and signs and wonders that were done by the apostles in Acts chapter 2, when all them people got saved? We're heading into a time when this end time will fulfill the book of Acts. And there is going to be again miracles and signs and wonders, and the people of the Lord will be separated from the world. And the type for that, of course, is that Goshen, that separation. Now, many people have also said that a place that what God will do is take people and remove them. And many people used to talk about Petra and that area there. But God is able to deliver people and to protect them. The Jews did not choose Goshen. It just happened to be there. And that's where they wound up at. And it turned out to be a place of safety for them and blessing. Even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of trouble. Now, we're going to stop there, and when we come back, we'll be in Exodus 14. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those that heard this and hear this. Whenever they do, help them to understand. Bless them and keep them, Lord. And I send this word out across the phone lines, the internet connection to the uttermost part of the earth. Let those that hear it, hear it. Lord, open up their understanding. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. And I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from for sending evil upon this household, upon anybody that hears this, upon me for preaching it, or my family. You are bound from that. And we reject and bind any and all attacks in Jesus' name. Father, we look to you. We have submitted ourselves to God, therefore we have resisted the devil, and he will flee from us. We thank you, Father. Okay, Tower. We are... We're in part 4 of that, so I don't know. I think we've got a few more of this one left. Because we're doing a little over
possible.
You know, about an hour. So we've got part four. You know, we could have two, maybe three more of these. But that's the journey of promise. That's where we're at.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm glad we have a promise and a hope.
Yeah, me too. And we are going to be through November, going to be in December. This month's going to go by. That's the way they always do. Enjoy the holidays while they're here.
Yes, amen.
I mean, you know, in the midst of everything going on, you can still have joy, love, and peace. You know?
That's for sure. Thank God. And, you know, in all this evil that we don't like it going on, but, you know, we still have peace.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. We do. And so next week on Thursday, join us for our three-hour show, Remnant Battle Lines, an hour's worth of prophecy news and world events, and 2 hours of in-depth teaching. Don't forget to check out our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You can find us on many of the places, Facebook and everywhere else. So tonight, we're going to say goodnight, everybody.
Okay, goodnight, everybody. Thanks for joining us. God bless you, and thank you for all you do.
Yes. Goodnight, everybody. We'll catch
you
next week.
We love you, and we appreciate you.
Goodnight. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.